You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and the phone number here for Stop Feeding the Predators is 614-403-4545, and we'll also have that posted in our link. And tonight's show, I have two very special guests. They are actually office neighbors for Stop Feeding the Predators in our building based in Columbus, Ohio. And I'd like to welcome Eric and Mary Nutter from Transformative Balance.
Hi.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for having us here today.
And I know this is the first time we've done a radio show with multiple people, so you'll have to bear with me if I seem a little controlling. I don't know how it's going to go to have three people doing the radio show. So
feel free to control.
Okay. And the most important thing is to make sure that the information that we relay is clear to people. So if I ask you questions that you feel are really, really stupid, just bear with me, because there's a lot that you do that I'm not really educated about.
That's
and
fine.
I want to make sure I understand it so okay. that I can ask better questions as the show goes on.
Sounds good.
It sounds good.
And this is our first radio show, too, so
okay.
be gentle.
Okay. So we will have, within the comments section on our Facebook page, on our website, and also with City of Angels, Stop Feeding the Predators will also have a link to Transformative Balance website and also their Facebook page. Obviously, it's transformativebalance.com. That's kind of easy. If you want to be looking at that while you're listening to the show, you're welcome to do that. And I guess the first thing, and Eric or Mary, whoever wants to answer, I'm just going to throw the questions out randomly.
All right.
Tell me a little bit about what is Transformative Balance about? What is it that you do, and why should I care?
Well, Transformative Balance, as its name might imply, at least we hope it implies, we're about helping people to transform into the person that they want to be, to live the life that they want to live, to let go of the baggage, to just live their lives the way they want to, and to find that balance, to become who you are as a whole person living a balanced, healthy life.
Now, before the show, we talked about holistic healing, and I don't remember the other phrasing that you had.
He mentioned transpersonal.
Right.
Yes, transpersonal.
Right.
Being that we work with the entire person, body, mind, and spirit. We're not just focused on the body only and working on just finding symptoms. We're looking at the person as a whole and helping in resolving issues that may be physical, they may be emotional, they may be spiritual. Just whatever the person is having trouble with in their life, whatever's holding them back from living the life that they want to live, it's our work to help find the resolution and help them to discover their path and really facilitate their own healing.
Okay, so just bear with me in, mm-hmm. in my lack of knowledge of all of what that encompasses. So for me to understand that would be the equivalent of a doctor who specializes in my diet, a doctor who specializes in my physical body symptoms, and a spiritual healer who talks to me about stresses that I have in my life. So you're not a doctor, obviously, but you help people understand physical symptoms that they're enduring, emotional stresses that they're encompassing, and also just the emotional impact of things that have happened in their life. Is that... Feel free to elaborate
yeah.
if I'm wrong.
yes. For the most part, yes. Although, like you said, we're not medical professionals. We're not nutritionists. So our work is very spiritually based as well. We're very open to whatever the client brings to us. We are non-denominational. We are ordained ministers through the Healing Angels Ministry, which is ministry through action, not through preaching or dogma. We are ordained to help people. That allows us to lay on hands for energy healing. It allows us to talk to people about spiritual counseling, just helping them to understand the universe, the world around them, and how they interact with it. So whatever is going on in a person's life, we strive to help bring understanding, bring clarity, and healing, resolution, to let go of anything in the past that's holding them back, and to embrace a more positive, loving future.
Okay, so again, bear with my my lack of understanding. So if I come to you because I've had stresses, emotional issues, I'm finding myself in a pattern of the same old problems in my life. I keep creating the same mistakes over and over. If I come to you for help, you're not going to tell me what's wrong with me. You're going to discuss with me what I've been through and help me find what's going on with me. You're not going to say, well, Lynn, it sounds like you've been through some tough things and probably you had a traumatic experience as a child and here's what you need to do.
Right.
You're going to talk with people and...
We are not going to jump to any conclusions. We're going to take you through a process of self-discovery to try to get back to the primal cause, the primal source of what started these issues.
Okay.
And our focus is on not just treating symptoms and creating good customers. We focus on finding the cause of these issues and helping you to resolve them so you can be healthy and whole, and we feel that we've done our job when you don't have to come back.
Okay.
And that's what makes us feel good. And so finding the cause of patterns like you described and going wherever you need to go in gaining understanding through either just talking, counseling, or using hypnotherapy. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and a lot of my work is in finding the cause of issues in a person's life or gaining understanding about why do certain things keep happening in a person's life, cycles and patterns that keep repeating. Or, you know, resolving physical, mental, emotional issues that don't seem to have a source, you know, aches and pains that there's no reason for, all sorts of different things. I mean, a person can have any kind of issue going on in their life, and they may have gone to doctors and counselors, and nobody really has a clue on why this is happening or where it came from. But in using hypnotherapy and just asking the subconscious mind to go wherever it needs to go to find the answers often come. And it's been my experience that generally it gets done in one session. And so, you know, years of counseling have oftentimes not gotten as far as, at least from what my clients have told me, haven't gotten them as far as a single session. And it's phenomenal that such progress can be made so quickly. But the client really has to be willing to do the work and be honest and comfortable enough with me to work with them to find the causes. And so in the work that we've done, we've found that a lot of these issues come from, and if I'm going too fast, let me know.
You're fine. You're fine.
But a lot of these causes come from labels and events in a person's childhood or even earlier. You know, even they could be in the womb still. So, you know, it could come from any time earlier, but something said in anger or jealousy. You know, when you are a little kid and you look up to someone and they say, you'll never amount to anything, a little kid takes that in and says, this must be true.
Right. And I've emphasized to people that children believe what you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Children mm-hmm. don't understand sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They take everything exactly as it's said. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but people who are sexually abused when they're children, their brains actually don't develop the same way as children who were not sexually abused. And many times our brains, I'm not saying that I have the equivalent, you know, brain power of a three-year-old, but a lot of times our brains stop development because the confusion that's been introduced is so overwhelming that it shuts down different parts of the brain. So mm-hmm. if they do, you know, brain scan, it's not necessarily going to show up because, you know, I can drive a car and I have a sense of direction occasionally. and you know, I can, you know, blow my own nose and things like that. But having conversations with people can sometimes be difficult because I still believe what you said as an actual fact.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of friends and occasionally they're sarcastic with me. And I will reply back with, you know, a strong rebuttal because I can't believe that they mm-hmm. said that because I thought they were this person and now mm-hmm. they're indicating that they're a completely opposite person. And one friend specifically, he will laugh and he will say, honey, I was being facetious. I'm like, what does that mean? Does that mean you're being fake? He's like, I was being sarcastic. I was joking. And I said, I don't understand when you do that. So he's had to learn to not joke around with me, you know, even sarcastically, because
mm-hmm.
I'll get in an argument with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll silly stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I'll say, you know, gosh, I am exhausted. And he'll say something like, well, you've really not done anything today, when he's mm-hmm. just listened to me list mm-hmm. off everything mm-hmm. I've done.
Yes. Right.
And I'll say, how can you say I haven't done anything? Do you think what I'm doing is not important? And I'm defensive and I'm mm-hmm. upset. And if you think about children, like you're saying, if we tell a child you're not going to amount to anything,
mm-hmm.
that child doesn't necessarily have the skill set to argue back, yes, I am going to amount to something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They take what's been said to heart,
mm-hmm.
It, whether it was an adult or another child
mm-hmm.
that said it.
Yeah.
When words are said, children believe those words until we teach them sarcasm and then we ruin them.
But the thing is, though, words have power. I mean, everything is frequency and vibration. Everything is made of energy. And everything resonates at different frequencies. And when you have a thought, that thought has a frequency. And when you give voice to that thought, you put that frequency out into the world. And that frequency, just like a wave in the ocean, it bounces and deflects against all the objects around it, and it has impact. I mean, physical effect on everything around it. And the intention behind words, you know, if they're said with anger, if they're said with love, words have power. And especially on a young child that's so impressionable and just soaking up all this energy. And when you soak in these words, and especially from someone that you look up to, that becomes your truth. And if somebody says, who would ever love you? You think, oh, I'm not lovable.
Right.
Let this be so.
Right.
And then it's written in stone across your forehead. I'm not lovable. And nobody loved me.
And then you seek out a life to prove what you believe.
Exactly.
Now, I've heard things like that. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. My seventh grade teacher would be so proud of me for remembering that.
But the thing is, you manifest this, and people say things like this all the time. You'll never amount to anything. You're too fat. You're too ugly. You're not creative enough. You're not talented. And we take this in and we say, this is me now. I am not talented. I am not, and I will never succeed. And people work their lives and they get up to a certain point and everything's going great and it's just ready to break through and it all comes crashing down around them. And they build it back up and they just about ready to succeed and it all comes crashing down around and they can never get past that point. Why?
Because subconsciously they have learned and they have created a life that reinforces, I'm never going to amount to anything. So exactly. I get as close as I can, and then I do something to make sure
that it
that that's true, that I can't amount to anything.
Exactly.
So, Mary, I'm going to ask you, because us women tend to be late for things, so you might be able to relate a little more. When I was little, I remember my mom telling me to hurry up all the time.
I heard that a lot.
Pokey Little Puppy book, my favorite book ever. Do you remember the Pokey Little Puppy book?
No, I never heard that one.
He was late catching up to the other puppies, and he was always watching butterflies, and he was doing all kinds of things, and he gets stuck under a fence, and he's just a little puppy dog looking at the world, trying to explore. And life is kind of passing him by because, you know, his mommy puppy wants him to come and eat. She wants him to come in for nap time, whatever. And he's just being himself. But my mom was always telling me, hurry up. Now, I'm 48 and I have difficulty being on time. And I tell people, and Eric will be like, don't do that. I tell people all the time, I'm always late for everything. So...
let it be so.
And women have a reputation for being late for things.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So do you think that women being late for things is kind of what I've got going on, that I just have a tendency to be late because I'm female? Or do you think there's...
I think there's a lot to being, you know, lectured and labeled. Yeah, because I was like you when I was a kid. I was always the one who was last into the family bus to go to church, you know, and I would hear, Mary, you're always late. Mary, you're always late. Mary, you're always late. And I have often wondered if now I have been programmed to be late, you know, which... much to Eric's frustration, is still a problem to this day.
I was going to ask, every morning when you wake up, does Eric say, Mary, I love how punctual you are. Bye, honey, I'm going to work. You know, do you try to reprogram her since you know that that's...
No, I'm always saying, come on, let's go.
That's one of those pick your battles things, right?
Yes.
She's always late. She believes she's always late. I'm going to accept she's always late.
I didn't even know about the Pokey Little Puppy book, though. Now that I know, I think maybe I can start working on that. But the point being that people pick up labels, and, you know, from our parents, from our peers, from coworkers, and that doesn't have to define us, but, you know, unless we let it. So... with hypnotherapy, if you've got something going on, like you're trying to understand, why does this keep happening? How come this is in my life? How can I resolve it? I've had many sessions where we do a regression session, and basically I help the client to relax and just facilitate getting into that trance state, basically. And then asking to go back to wherever this issue first started and describe whatever it is that comes to mind. Even if it feels like you're just making it up, but just start describing things. And the more you describe, the more information comes. So,
kind of like a brainstorming with yourself from within. Start
right.
talking about things that you remember that relate to, for example, you being late. Do you remember... Mm-hmm. you know, when's the first time you remember somebody telling you to hurry up, or when's the first time you remember somebody suggesting that you're slow, and so I could start talking about these different things and
yeah, just go back to the very first time that being late was an issue.
Okay, well, just for the record, my mom, my due date was the 17th, and the doctor told my mom that he didn't want me to be late, so he was going to induce her early. So I was born before I was ready to be born. And ever since then, I've been trying to take my time and make up for that.
But there could have also been something even earlier. Like, as you were still in your mother's womb, you've got that direct connection through the umbilical cord.
Right.
Your mother could have been talking to somebody and saying, this is probably going to be late. She's probably going to be late. You know, you're not showing enough, and it's not time. I think she's going to be late. And all that going directly fed into that baby in the mother's womb, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. And then the induction, you know, they induce you. Wait, it's not time. And you hold on, and you're gripping the sides.
I'm fighting to stay that puppy little puppy that I wanted to be.
Without even reading the book yet.
Yep.
But it could have been something said while you were even still in the womb that they might have been predicting you're going to be late.
Right.
And you took that in and said, make it so. I am going to be late. And that has been your life from that point on. But with hypnosis, in asking to go to where that first became an issue, you might say, I'm in my mother's womb, and she's talking to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm going to be late. Okay, now we can work with that.
Right.
And how do you feel about that? And ask your mother, and ask the doctor, and just work at expressing that energy of, what does it mean to be late, or is there anything that you need to say to them why you want to be late, or is there something they need to say to you? You can have a full dialogue, even though at the time you're just a baby in the womb, but through hypnosis it gives you that voice that you can talk to the people in that moment and express whatever you need to, and ask questions and get responses and get that resolution that you never got before.
Right. Some validation for what you've always felt but couldn't explain.
And the main thing is to finally realize that it's not you. It's something that the doctor said. That doesn't label you. It doesn't define who you are. That's just what he said then. But that's not you. You don't have to be late.
And we've used my lateness as an example, because anybody listening to this radio show or anybody I've ever met has already dealt with my lateness. So it gives some validity to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you made mention of, if somebody says, you know, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never succeed, or something like that. If you don't mind, I'm going to take this a little differently. It's not always negative comments that create us to define who we are.
Correct.
This is true.
It could be, she's a beautiful little girl.
Yes.
And the little girl would grow up knowing, I'm a beautiful little girl. And there are some people that would say, that's great, it builds confidence. But if you're not also telling her she's an intelligent little girl, she's going to grow up to be a beautiful, intelligent woman. She may think that her sole worth to the world is being a beautiful little girl. So even if she's 40 years old, she may still think of herself as a beautiful child girl. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, it can affect her relationships.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If somebody doesn't validate that she's a beautiful little girl, and they say, wow, you're a knockout, that might be offensive, because you wouldn't say, wow, you're a knockout to a beautiful little girl.
Or if something happens to her looks, she could feel that her entire worth has been destroyed.
thus the wrinkle cream industry.
Absolutely. but even more so on an emotional level. I mean, that person might feel that she has nothing to contribute to society if she doesn't have her looks.
That's
and
very
so
true.
Just give up.
Right. Her sole worth was that. Now, yeah. See, fortunately for me, nobody ever said, you're not worth it when you get here. They just said, you're always late.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how late I am. I still feel some kind of worth once I get there.
Yeah. That's good.
But again, it doesn't have to be an abusive comment. And it doesn't have to be traumatic events, you know, such as manipulation and sexual assault mm-hmm. and things like that. It can be any comment, any label that holds you back from having a more complete life. Is that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yay, I got it.
Well, and not only just a more complete life, but living authentically for who you are. You know, it's not living through somebody else's idea of you. Like,
okay,
somebody saying that you're going to be a doctor because I want a doctor in the family. So you're going to be a doctor. Well, maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're a dancer.
Right.
And but you become a doctor or you go to medical school to fulfill someone else's idea of
because
you.
Because it's always been expected of you
yeah.
from as long as you can remember.
And you may even grow up thinking it's your idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because being a doctor is a great occupation.
Yes.
Right.
You
yes.
help people, you heal people,
it's prestigious.
Again, not necessarily a bad thing that could result, but like what you were saying, Eric, is not authentically you.
Right. You might have these dreams that are buried or just this completely different idea of who you are. Maybe you don't like being around people. So being a doctor is something so abhorrent to you because you always have to be around people because you're your patients and all the other doctors and hospitals and nurses and
medical staff.
Yeah, but you're a loner. You want to do a late night radio show.
You want to be a guest on Stop Feeding the Predators.
Yeah. But you don't really like being around a lot of people. So being a doctor really isn't you.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, that can build a lot of stress in a person and really have a harsh effect on their life because they're not living their life. They're living the life their parents wanted them to live.
The life that they were influenced to want.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So helping people to uncover the truth of themselves, you know, either if it's something from the past that has affected them their entire life, or if it's an idea or a belief that they hold, you know, whether it's about themselves or the world or spiritually speaking, you know, whatever it is that's holding them back, hypnosis is really good at helping them find that and understanding it better. And getting them to that next level where they're free to be who they are authentically.
So not only understanding why they have certain beliefs that may be holding them back or limiting them.
Yes.
Being a doctor, you're not necessarily held back, but
right.
perhaps you're limited because you may have qualifications that are greater in a different area than
mm-hmm.
what you can accomplish as a doctor. I mean, We've all encountered somebody in a profession that we thought, man, you'd be a great mime, but you are not good at customer service. You know, we've all encountered people that are clearly in the wrong profession.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so not only helping people to understand what has limited them,
mm-hmm.
but validating and giving permission for them to be what their passion, what their drive, mm-hmm. their focus, their interest.
What they're here for.
What they want to do from
exactly.
their life.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember reading, there was a like top seven things that people on their deathbed wished. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was that they wished that they had pursued what they wanted instead of what people told them they should do.
Yes, yes.
And
that is tragic.
It is.
It's horrible.
It is. And when you think of a life, I don't know who gave the quote, but the saddest thing there is for a person to die with their music still in them.
Yeah, Wayne Dyer.
Is that who said that? I'm sure lots of
people have said
it. Yeah,
yeah. I think it was Wayne Dyer. He read the Russian novel about a judge, I think. And on his deathbed, it was a long, dreary story. And on his deathbed, he said, "What if my whole life was wrong?"
Wow.
And that really struck Wayne Dyer. And so he made a vow then, you know, don't die with your music still in you.
Right.
So.
But it sounds like the type of work that you guys do helps people to define not only why they're stuck in a rut or where they don't want to be, but you know, maybe they're having success, but they just aren't happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And helping them to determine what they were, if you'll excuse the expression, put on this earth to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, I always had, and I still do to this day, always had a lot of respect for every person, every profession. Because even as a child, I saw the need for trash men.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because if these guys don't go out in the heat and the ice and the wicked weather and haul away the garbage, it's going to stay in the house and smell. I mean, to this day, my favorite day of the week is trash day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that I don't want goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, Eric and Mary, what you guys do is help people get rid of the stuff that they don't want, that's smelling up their aura, that's interfering with their ability to move around.
Well, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember in New York, the trash men went on strike. And it was quite a while before trash was picked up,
and
they noticed.
you know, to me, if you're going to be a waiter or waitress, or if you're going to be a trashman, or if you're going to be a doctor, or if you're going to be a teacher, you should be the best that you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I make it no secret that I clean houses for a living. And I was at a high school reunion a few years back. And everybody was, you know, oh, hi, how have you been? Haven't seen you in 20 years. You know, what are you doing for a living is the first question out of everybody's mouth.
Oh, I'm a CEO, and I own my own business.
And some people I would say, well, I'm self-employed. And they'd say, oh, that's great. What do you do? And I would say, well, I do cleaning, painting, drywall repairs, wallpaper removal, waterproofing basements. And the look on their face was, oh. And I said that to a few people, and these weren't, you know, snobby people. These were people that I went to school with that knew my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very proud of the fact that I had taken on cleaning and painting as a means of supporting my five kids instead of being on welfare. Not that there's anything wrong with being on welfare. I was on it for a couple years when I needed it to get back on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very proud of cleaning, painting, drywall repairs.
Mm-hmm.
I was very proud of that. And when I got these looks from people, it told me that I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So I only told a few people that, and then my, you know, you're always late feeling kicked in. And I thought, well, I'm obviously behind. These people are more successful. I haven't achieved that yet or whatever. And I thought, no, I'm proud of where I am. I'm happy for where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the night, whenever someone asked me what I did for a living, I would tell them I changed the world. And of course, they're like, okay, you arrogant woman, what do you do for a living? And I very politely said, I change the world because I take care of people's homes and do all the things that they don't have to do so they can go out and be the best teachers and doctors and CEOs of companies and waiters and waitresses and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I free up people to make a difference in the world. So I change the world by doing laundry so that somebody can go out and save a life. Or serve McDonald's, or whatever. And mm-hmm. for people who say, oh, McDonald's isn't a real job, really? Well, if you eat there, you thank them for your lunch when you go, otherwise mm-hmm. stop going. You know, I hate mm-hmm. when people say, oh, it's fast food restaurant, you know, mm-hmm. I have a real job. If you're eating there and that's your lunch, you better thank them, because that is a real job, making your dinner.
Right. And they feed the doctor on the rush
exactly.
to the hospital
yes.
to
exactly.
do surgery.
Exactly. He's getting two cheeseburgers because they're loaded with protein, and he's going to go in and, you know.
Just
exactly.
4 or 5 hours of surgery.
Exactly. And that's, growing up as a child, we talked about, you know, believing every word. I didn't see any job that was useless. And I've made comparisons, you know, whether you can do ballroom dancing or you're the best at the hokey pokey, the world needs really good people to do the hokey pokey, because that's joyous, it's mm-hmm. happy, it's mm-hmm. silly, it's mm-hmm. chaotic, mm-hmm. it's fun.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And I've turned myself around there. I put myself in there and I'm taking myself right back out. And ballroom dancing is also as important, because the world needs grace and beauty and elegance and that flow of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same as it needs da-na-na-na-na-na, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there are, they've said it for actors, there's no small parts, only small actors. There's mm-hmm. no insignificant job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are doing a job, a career, an activity that isn't your passion, your drive, your greatest
yeah,
goal in life,
yeah.
you're cheating the world on who you are.
Yeah, whatever you do. Like you say, if you know, whether you work at McDonald's or whether you pick up the trash, you should be able to have pride in your work, and you should be able to do it with joy.
Right.
You touched on that a little bit. You should be able to do it with joy.
Yeah, It's going on 16 years now that I've been self-employed cleaning houses. And I have one client in particular, and I told her, I said, you don't know how much I enjoy cleaning your house. And she laughed and said, you don't know how much I enjoy you cleaning my house. And that's kind of the thing. You know, everybody's heard the expression, if you like doing something, you're going to be better at it than somebody who hates doing something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
You know? Absolutely.
I was driving through the neighborhood one day, and it was trash day. Not my trash day, so I didn't have reason to be happy for me,
mm-hmm.
but it was my client's trash day, and I'm driving through the neighborhood, and typically, you know, the cans are just sideways or upside down or at the side of the curb, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. no big deal. And this one person obviously had put out a bunch of yard waste, and there were two trash cans that were sitting like you would normally expect to see a trash can sitting upright and empty. And there were 7 trash cans, all about the same size and shape, stacked up in a pyramid. They were all upside down. The trash man had emptied these
mm-hmm.
trash cans,
mm-hmm.
and the trash man had made a pyramid out of these cans. And I fell in love with him. I don't even know who he is. But I said to myself, a man who puts that kind of fun...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's finding his own joy
mm-hmm.
in his day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people who say, oh, he's a trash man, so what? No, you don't understand.
He's an artist.
He is having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people drove past that later that day after he was long gone and
mm-hmm.
washing his
mm-hmm.
hands and trying to get the stench off of himself from the day? How many people drove past those trash cans and thought, oh, look at that? Even for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them some happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have just emptied them and thrown them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
like most do.
I still think, you know, someday I'll pursue meeting him. But I've cleaned toilets for a living and I'm happy about it. You know, show me a man
mm-hmm.
who does a job that other people would say, ew,
mm-hmm.
and he's joyous about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it
and that goes
into
for
art.
That goes for everything. And maybe his parents are disappointed that he's not a doctor, but look at the happiness he brought to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Compared to, you know, if he was a wart surgeon or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you fixed my foot, but you know, so what? Well, no, he's stacked up the cans. So he's possibly
well
authentically where he's supposed to be.
And happiness is healing. The endorphins, you know, brain chemicals, smiling is healthy. I mean, it helps your body physically, it helps your body mentally and emotionally, just smiling.
So this trash man that stacked up the cans in a pyramid is actually a doctor of humanity and happiness.
Yep.
Awesome. If I ever see him, I'm going to tell him.
Laughter is the best medicine. How many people laughed at that pyramid?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we all know that there's the possibility that the homeowner was a petite, older person who came out and said, now how am I supposed to reach that top one without it falling on me, and was not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of perception as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Goes to knock it down, and that very top can just drops right down on top.
And she's there until next week when he picks up the can and finds her under it, right?
Get me out of here, yeah.
Well, we've talked about how events and even positive words can label us and can limit us. We talked about finding the cause of physical and emotional symptoms. I'm going to put you to the mat a little bit about the hypnotherapy. Again, bear with my stupidness when
stop
I think
saying that.
Well, it's I'm
stop
not
labeling
informed.
Yourself that.
But I'm not informed. So if I if
okay,
I,
well, informed is different. Uninformed is different from stupid. So
stupid is you don't care, uninformed is you want to learn more?
Stupid implies that you don't have the ability to understand or learn.
So that would be stupid about being on time. No, I'm teasing. I actually, okay, I gotta insert this here because it's really funny. I dated a guy for a significant length of time. I could not be on time for anything. It just, no matter how much I tried to please him, no matter how much he tried to coordinate me, I just couldn't do it. And he made a comment one time, it's hard to be upset with you because you're not sitting around eating bonbons, painting your toenails, and that's why you're late. You're late because you're doing all these things constantly, finding other things that you're trying to quickly get done when you don't really have time to do it. So it's hard to be mad at you when you're late all the time because you're still accomplishing things right up to the very last second you walk out the door. He and I broke up. And we met up again a little bit later, and I was on time for every single thing that he and I planned to do.
Mm.
Mm.
And it freaked him out because I was there before he got there.
You've changed, so.
And my arrogance, he got there one day, you know, I'd been waiting 10 minutes. Because I was early,
mm-hmm,
and he got there exactly on time, and he said, how long have you been here? I said, well, 10 minutes, and so that surprised him, and he said, well, you're late for everything, and with all cockiness, I smiled and said, no, I don't do that anymore. And it felt so good to be able to be on time,
mm-hmm,
because there wasn't anybody reminding me that I couldn't be, and then I've slacked off, and I've gone back to being late. But I want to talk to you about the hypnotherapy.
Sure.
When I think of that, and bear with me, coming from a sexually abused childhood, when I think of hypnotherapy, I think there's no way I'm going to let somebody have that kind of control over my mind to make me do things that I know I don't want to do. And, mm-hmm, and once I agree to hypnotherapy, how do I know they're not going to take advantage of me?
First of all, with hypnotherapy, the client is always in charge. And it's not like you're giving control over. Hypnotherapy is a facilitation of relaxation, basically.
Okay.
And you're always aware of every sound, every action. You're never out of control. You're always aware of yourself and your surroundings. So it's different from what you see on TV or in the movies, like with stage hypnosis for entertainment. The people that go to those shows go with the intention of participating, being the life of the party, getting up on stage and just having fun and goofing off and doing whatever. And a lot of the times, alcohol's involved as well. So there goes the inhibitions. But with stage hypnosis, they go with the intention of participating, and what they don't usually show is at the beginning of those stage shows, the hypnotist will often bring a bunch of people up, and through a series of testing, he'll determine who the most motivated to participate are. Everyone else he has sit down, and so only the ones that are most motivated, that want to be up on stage and just be silly and have fun, they're the ones that are the show.
So he's pre-screened to get absolutely the most amount of fun out of
yes
the supposed hypnotherapy.
So no, it's not hypnotherapy on the stage.
That's why I use the phrase supposed, because they still pretend to hypnotize you and make
hypnosis,
you do crazy things.
It's hypnosis, but it's not hypnotherapy.
Yeah, and there is a distinction between hypnosis and hypnotherapy. Hypnotherapy, of course, is a lot more in-depth and geared toward healing and resolution.
Okay.
Hypnosis could be just for fun and entertainment and to lower inhibitions to act silly. But the thing is, the people that get up on stage and cluck like chickens go with the intention of participating and doing whatever and having fun. With hypnotherapy, your strongest desire always wins. Hypnotherapy facilitates achieving whatever goal you have. So if it's gaining understanding about something, if it's finding the cause of something, hypnosis helps you relax to the point where that information can come up like a memory. And you're free to experience it or just watch and observe. You can kind of separate from it if you need to. One thing, though, I would like to clarify is, like with any kind of practitioner, especially a health practitioner, whether it's body, mind, or spirit, if you're seeing a massage therapist, a chiropractor, a doctor, or a counselor, a therapist, psychiatrist, whatever, find somebody that you're comfortable in working with. If you're not comfortable, you're wasting your time.
Right.
So find somebody that feels right to you, that you're comfortable with, that you can open up and share and get where you need to go. If you're holding back, if you are concerned about being judged, then you're probably not going to have the success that you would have with somebody that you trust and are comfortable with.
And again, you have to allow yourself that you are not stupid, and that when you feel a certain comfort level with someone, that's valid. And the same if you feel a certain discomfort. Thank you.
Yes.
With someone. There's several licensed massage therapists here in the building,
mm-hmm.
and one gentleman and I, we connect wonderfully. We have some amazing in-depth conversations, mm-hmm. and I told him one time, I would never let you do a massage, and he said, well, you know, you need to be comfortable with whoever it is.
Right.
And
right.
I said, no, I think you're hot, so I would never be comfortable getting a massage from you. And there's a woman in the building as well, and even being sexually assaulted as a child, even having people touch me that, you know, there's something about this woman that I feel so safe that there would, even if she touched me in a similar way, a rub across my back or something, there's something about her that I feel safe with, that mm-hmm. even if something were to trigger a flashback or something, mm-hmm. I feel a comfort level with her that I could say, hang on a second, that made me think of something,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that, like you're saying, that comfort level with whoever you're working yeah. with is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
also, if you're trying a different modality for the first time and the experience isn't good, don't give up on the modality. Find a different practitioner. Find somebody that you like better.
Right.
And so whether it's massage or hypnosis or Reiki, energy work, or chiropractic, whatever. Don't give up on the modality if one experience isn't working for you.
Right.
Find somebody else. You know, talk to people, get recommendations, ask questions. That's a really big one. Ask a lot of questions. And make sure that you have a thorough understanding of not only how do they work, but a better understanding of who they are.
Right.
What is their motivations? Why are they do this work?
Right. And I always tell people, when we were children and we were assaulted, we were taught to go against our gut feeling. Mm-hmm. And as mm-hmm. adults, we need to embrace that gut feeling that we lost.
Yes.
Yes.
And, indeed. You know, there's a couple people in the building. Like I said, there's many mm-hmm. licensed massage therapists here in the office mm-hmm. building. There are some people that I genuinely like, but my gut just says I just wouldn't be comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with them. They're mm-hmm. wonderful people. Mm-hmm. I get along yeah. with them. I mm-hmm. trust them. You know, I would give them the keys to my car.
Yeah.
But for there's a limit. I wouldn't be comfortable with a massage from them. And yeah. I just know that. And, you know, the biggest thing for me has been validating that what I feel is okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. what you were talking about, you know, a word, you know, telling someone they're never going to amount to anything or mm-hmm. telling someone that they're a beautiful little girl. I've spent a lot of my life being told, no, that didn't really happen. It wasn't like that. You misunderstood. You don't get it. So I've had to, and it sounds like hypnotherapy can help people with this. I've had to retrain myself to trust that mm-hmm. I am smart enough to know what's yeah. going on. Mm-hmm. That I, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times when people are sexually assaulted, regardless of their age, the first couple seconds, they are in complete shock. They mm-hmm. they can't believe this is happening, and maybe if I don't acknowledge that it's happening, it won't be happening.
Yeah.
And what Stop Feeding the Predators tries to help people do is notice that gut feeling before it gets to the point that you can't right. fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? We've got just about 10 minutes left, wow. and I want to talk about the Reiki, the sound therapy, meditation, a little more on hypnotherapy and regression therapy. And the main thing that I would like to emphasize, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I want to make sure people understand that hypnotherapy is not going to be someone else taking control of your mind or your body.
No. There is no mind control, no brainwashing, anything like that. It's a relaxation. It's like going through a guided meditation.
Okay.
You're always aware, and there's nothing that I can do or say to make you do or say anything. It's sort of like when you're watching a movie and you're really engrossed in it, and somebody comes in and asks you about the movie. You can describe, oh, this is the lead character, he's got a relationship with this character, and this is what's going on.
While still intently watching the movie.
You're still involved with the movie. But if somebody comes in and says, hey, what's your bank account number? You're out of that movie. You're like, what?
Right. Dude, I'm not yeah. giving you my bank account number.
Exactly.
First of all, I don't have it memorized. And second of all, you're not getting it.
And it's the same thing with hypnotherapy. You're in that relaxed state. If you're doing like a regression, and with a regression, there's more dialogue between the hypnotherapist and the client. We'll ask questions, and then you describe whatever it is that comes to mind, and you respond. And so there's this back and forth. With a suggestion session, it's just the hypnotherapist talking and giving suggestions, positive affirmations, helping you to create new habits. New positive beliefs, affirmations that you are worthy and deserving, that you are a good person, that you are able to relax, that, you know, just trying to establish a new way of thinking that reinforces your desires and what you want to have happen. Like if you want to quit smoking, now that I am a non-smoker, now that I've returned to my natural state of being a non-smoker, you know, that would be a suggestion session. Regression session would be find the cause. Go back wherever you need to go and describe what you become aware of.
When and where did this start?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then how do we resolve this? We can work with resolution, expressing what wasn't able to be expressed at the time, let go of that energy, release it, get rid of all the residual leftover effects, and you know, discover, find, resolve. And but with that, you do maintain an awareness. And even with a suggestion session, you're still just listening to the words. And it's not like you fall asleep and wake up different. You're always there with the person in the room with you. And you hear people talking outside in the hallway, and you hear cars driving by, and you're just in a very relaxed state. And you could move if you want to, but a lot of times it seems like a lot of effort. Your arms might feel really heavy, but if you needed to...
So if your nose itches, you're going to scratch it. You're not going to sit there thinking, absolutely, oh my gosh, my nose itches and I can't move.
And and I've had sessions where, in my early sessions, you know, I first started maybe, like if a client was looking for a word, I'd say, you mean this? And they're like, no, not that. So
they won't even let you help them find the right word if that's not the word they were looking
if
for.
If that's not the word, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
So I can't make or you know, force them to do anything, to think anything or say anything if that's not what's going on or if, you know, if that's not their motivation.
Right.
So you're always in charge.
So if I come in because I want... suggestion hypnotherapy. I knew I'd say that wrong. Suggestion hypnotherapy to help me quit smoking. You're not going to do a session with me talking about my childhood issues why am I so short or...
No, okay. Because that's not your motivation. That's not your reason for being there. We're going to work on quitting smoking or whatever it is. And so we'll develop suggestions about... what you want to tell yourself with smoking, and what are your goals for non-smoking? Why do you want to quit why do you want to quit smoking? What do you expect your life to be like now that you're a non-smoker? You know, reinforcing things like that.
Right.
Also, maybe finding earliest memories. You know, just conversationally asking, "What's your earliest memory?" Because a lot of times with smoking, in particular, there's a person that we looked up to that smoked, and especially if they've passed on since then, smoking is a way to maintain that contact, that memory, and that connection, and honor them. You know, every time I light up a cigarette, this one's for you, Dad.
Right. You know? Right. So. Now, again, we've only got a few minutes left, but I wanted to touch briefly on, Reiki.
Okay.
Just give me a sentence or two. I've heard of Reiki. I don't know what it is. Somebody said, well, they touch you and you're healed. And I thought, well, that sounds like some kind of evangelical church. I don't know what that is. So.
Well, Reiki is a very light touch, but it's a Japanese energy technique that focuses the universal life force energy, the frequency and vibration of everything around us. We kind of funnel it through to the client, and the energy helps to flush out the body's energy system, bringing it back to a relaxed, balanced state where it can heal itself like it naturally would if it was allowed to.
Okay, so bear with my graphic description. It's the equivalent of flushing your stress so that you can start over fresh.
Right. I mean, so many of us are in stress mode all day long, and that keeps us in fight or flight or freeze.
Right.
And all the brain chemicals associated with that keeps our heart rate up, you know, and our stress levels, the adrenaline's pumping. We're never allowed to just rest and restore. And so Reiki helps you to rest, to relax, and bring your body back to that natural relaxed state where it can turn off the adrenalines and the stressors and the fight or flight mode, and just get into the rest and regeneration and allow your body to do the work that it naturally does and heal itself.
Okay, now, sound therapy, is that kind of what it sounds like? Is that
it's very similar in its action to Reiki. It's, again, an energy modality that works on your energy system. It balances your chakras, gets the energy moving through your meridians. It just does it in a different way, though. It does it through sound. The particular sound therapy that I do involves a set of solfeggio tuning forks. This is a 6-tone scale This is a scale that the tones are found naturally in nature. So our bodies respond to these tones. Our bodies resonate with these tones. And because these are the ideal frequencies for our first six chakra centers, and then I use all six forks together to tune the seventh chakra, the crown chakra, because our bodies naturally resonate with these frequencies, it brings us back into balance, gets the energy, like Reiki, gets the energy flowing the way it should, and it's just wonderfully restorative, deeply, deeply relaxing, very, very soothing, and like Reiki helps to get rid of your energy blocks.
It also, you know, like the rest of our work, helps people to let go of the baggage that's holding them back.
And that's the whole goal of all of this, of transformativebalance.com and also Stop Feeding the Predators, is to help people. Our tagline is healing starts here, to help people move past what is limiting them. And we're going to put a Facebook link for a meditation, and we've run over our time a bit. We're going to put a Facebook link for a meditation. Eric is going to, or Mary, I don't know, probably Eric.
Probably be Eric.
Eric is going to record a meditation, and the link will be on your Facebook site.
Yes.
So is that Transformative Balance? Just go to Facebook and type in Transformative Balance.
Yes.
Yes.
And it should come
yes.
up. Okay. And we'll also put the links on with Stop Feeding the Predators. I'll ask City of Angels to do it as well, but I may forget, so it'll definitely be on Stop Feeding the Predators page so people can find that link. And if some of the things we've talked about today or any of our shows cause you to wish that you had someone to meditate with, you can go to Transformative Balance on Facebook's page and find this meditation. And I want to thank you both for being here, and I knew that we would run over because it's fascinating the work that you guys do and the way it helps people. You know, a lot of times people think, you know, well, this is just kind of how I've always been. And the two of you are here today to say we've been working with people for years who thought they were stuck being a certain way, but they weren't happy.
Yeah.
And you've been able, through their desire to be happier and their interest in being and motivating to be a better person, you're helping them find out who they want to be. You're not guiding them and telling them what to do.
Right.
You're finding out where they want to be and helping them find in their life how to accomplish that.
Helping them to discover their authentic self.
Yep.
And
we facilitate their own discovery.
That's wonderful.
And growth.
That's wonderful. We've run over our time. I apologize for that. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And Eric and Mary, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I believe as far as Transformative Balance and Stop Feeding the Predators, I will leave the final words of healing starts here.